Not what they were doing. Because they are doing a lot of good things, a lot of wonderful things, just like ministry, a lot of good things. But when the Lord said, these two people are living in the same house, but they are not connected. As I was listening to this couple, it didn't make sense to me because everything appears like everything is going good. And that's when the Lord used the book of the Revelation, the church of Ephesus. He said to that church, the church is his bride. He looked into that church and he saw all the great things. But he says, we are not connected. You've left your first love. So, this friend, this couple, what makes marriage glue, a friendship, a oneness, is fading away gradually. And that's the same thing with us and the Lord. It's not bad things that sometimes keep us away from that first intimacy is the good things. Because the good things convince us that we are doing righteous things. We justify that I can't be doing this and not be serving God. Another church that the Lord came to in the book of Revelations, because God is dealing with the church in this hour. You know, the reason why sometimes a lot of young people, they don't feel like they belong in the midst of the body of Christ. Of course, you know the church is not a building, it's the people. It's because sometimes they are looking for what it means to be the body of Christ. And I want you to see this. One of the most blessed, prosperous, and you can go study it, the most materially fruitful church in the book of Revelations that Jesus spoke to was called the Laodicean church. They lived in a very affluent place at that time. It was a big city, commerce city. They were very rich. and everything was great. Actually, they said, we are rich and we have need of nothing. That was the language of that church. That's how much, physically speaking, it's like a husband and wife, everything is there. But Jesus came to that church and he said, he's still standing outside knocking if they will let him in. Can you imagine that? How can a church, because Jesus believes the church is his bride. The church has so many characteristics of why it's called a church. So look at him as a bride coming and he's saying to this church, we are not together. I'm still wanting to come back into your heart. I've left your heart. He says he's knocking to come into a church, meaning into our heart, into this congregation. But it was known publicly that this particular congregation, this particular church, they are so rich, they have need of nothing because they are blessed. My brothers and sisters, the greatest temptation that distracts us are the things God has blessed us with. When we are desperate, when we are going through very challenging, difficult times, sometimes those things push us actually to God. If we have relationship, we tend to run, we tend to cry, we tend to, God, I want you, God, you know, just, but it's the blessing, it's the provision. Jesus was telling a parable about this. He said, when he has prepared, like a Sunday like this, he says, I've prepared a feast. I have something I want to do today. There's something I've prepared it. He says, when he called them to this feast, one of them will say, I just got married. You just gave me a wife. Can you just excuse me from this special banquet? Another one say, you just blessed me with a business. It's prospering. Let me take care of this cow. I'm not talking about Coco's cow. Just let me take care of this. Let me take care of that. Coco comes here to worship God. He takes care of the cow when the cow needs to be taken care of. Amen? So, one said, I just got married. One said, I just got a business. One said, I need to take care of my farm. Why will God say that? Why will he give that parable? Because if you go and study the church and see yourself as the church, and Jesus is saying to you, you come every day, you do everything, but I am still not there. How will you feel? I'm knocking. We don't come to a building, we come to the presence of God as a people. The building is to help us from rain, from shelter, just to give us a place we can gather together as a family. The building has never been the focus of God. Just a place to make it comfortable, convenient for us to exercise our heart. But you are the church. And the church is not always about a lot of people coming together. And one time I was struggling and I was crying for help for something. And I was trying to cry out loud, and the Lord says, I'm here. I was waiting, okay, maybe when I come to church, when I come to, you know, to church to pray and stuff. And he says, the help you need, I'm here. I can help you. So God is with us 24/7, like the oxygen we breathe. The oxygen, I've shared this with you over and over, but it takes time for our minds to be renewed by faith to the reality. As present as this oxygen is today, that's how much more God is present to born-again Christians. Amen? So practicing, the why we call it practicing the presence of God, should be our lifestyle, because it's not human for us as human beings to recognize God's presence. Flesh and blood does not recognize spiritual things. So you have to, as a born-again person, keep practicing so that your mind gradually believes that what is written here is applicable to you. Amen? Hallelujah. When we come to worship, maybe that's why God is doing what he's doing here. It looks like we defer worship to those that are supposed to be leading us so we are in unity. Worship is supposed to come from here. Have you read the book of Revelation, chapter 5? It says, all of them, all the saints and all the angels and all the people, they all lifted their voice and say, worthy is the Lamb. Everyone worships. 2 Chronicles 5, it says, when the priests and the musicians and the people lifted their voices and they worship, for you are great and your mercy endures forever. Worship is not an entertainment for us. It's an expression of our spirit. And it's for all of us. Worship is not for the people playing music. We should be the one. Actually, maybe we don't even need music for us to practice it for some days, for some week, and see how that looks like. Amen? These people are not leading. They are just helping us to stay in unity so that this person is not singing, this person is not singing, so we all can sing together. There's something that happens. I've watched it here. When everybody here lifts their voice and sing that song that is on that screen, you see the atmosphere change. There's a blessing we all receive when we come together you cannot receive when you're alone. It says when brethren come together in unity, there's a blessing God commands you cannot get on your own. Amen? So that's why I don't like to miss these blessings of the family of God coming together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So just before we continue, let's just take a moment. Ask yourself, if the Lord were to ask that question, where do I stand? The Church of Ephesus. Is God saying, I am too busy to prioritize the things that I've committed to him? The Church of Laodicea, is the blessings of God choked out God in my heart to the point I'm just enjoying life and I'm disconnected from his heart? If the Lord is here today and asks that question, can you take a moment and say, I think my relationship with God is right. I think I'm obeying him. I think I'm committed to him. Let's take a moment and just reflect on that. Just think about that. Just a minute. Father, I repent. I start with me, Father. Today I ask that anywhere I have been so busy, I have been preoccupied with things, especially good things, and for some reason, I'm not where I should be with you. Please forgive me, and I ask for you to open my eyes and help me to return to that place where just me and you. The zeal for your presence, the desire for you consumed me. Bring us back to our first love. You are our love. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us that our coming to this place will be so fruitful that the reason you bring us together, we can't wait to be together again because of your presence and your blessing. We thank you, Father. We thank you for giving us 24 hours in a day. Father, is it possible you can help us? Even if it's just 30 minutes of these 24 hours, we will not compromise it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. I don't know. The Lord is just flowing in my spirit. As I was praying now, that word, minutes. Out of 24 hours. can you think about it? Is it possible that 30 minutes is too much in 24 hours of the day to spend with God? In one day, 30 minutes. Think about it. If we're honest, it's very possible some of us don't. But think about the weight of 24 hours and 130 minutes you did not find a place and just be alone, just quiet. 30 minutes. In 24 hours, I think the distraction is real. So I believe this morning God has spoken to you already. If you leave this house today and make a commitment, for those of you who are not doing 30 minutes, 30 minutes, just dawn on me. I don't spend with God in a day. No, that must change. You live in this place victorious today, because that 30 minutes will change your life. And for those who have been used to 1 hour, 2 hours, and you need to sustain it or increase. I pray we'll leave this place with a decision, amen? And that's what means everything to God, a decision, not just a conviction that leads to a decision that leads to a lifestyle of change, not condemnation and remorse. That's what repentance is. So, Father, I just thank you that we are leaving this place knowing we've made a decision for you and us to have some time on a daily basis that nothing can take away. It will just increase. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I really feel I'm done this morning. if you made a decision. But God has more for us. Amen? This house is a house of ministers. Man, Zion has never been a place where you'll be comfortable staying in a diaper for years. We have made it. Well, let's laugh with her. Maybe she understands what I'm saying. Man, Zion has been a place where everybody's raised up to be a minister. A minister doesn't mean you have to go to Bible college. It just means that you are in a place where your life is challenged to grow in the Lord. And as you grow in the Lord, people where you work, people where you school, in your family, in your marriage, they will see the improvements. They will see the fruit. And that's how you minister to people around you. Amen? That's what God has called us. And you just can't be satisfied where you are without seeing change. That's a commitment. That's a commitment. Because we have the devil out there that doesn't want you to succeed. So the reason we preach and we share what we share, so that when you live here, you recognize it and you fight it and you fight it, you stand and you win, and you know there is benefit in being a believer. Amen? Amen. So, this morning, two people are going to share some testimonies with us. And I respect these two people so much because, I respect everybody here, a lot of our leaders. But I've watched this life of these two people, and their life has inspired me. You know, as believers, we go through things, and sometimes we just want to give up. But the Bible says we are not to give up, but we should keep praying. Amen? Because the suffering is temporary. When the glory of God is revealed, then you have a testimony. So, because their life has encouraged me, I know their lives, the few minutes they have to share, I believe their testimonies will encourage you. That's what it's all about. So, the first person this morning that will speak to us through her testimony is, I call her Man Zion Angel. Miriam, please come. Amen. I'm not going to, you all know her, but me and Miriam has gone a long way. And this woman has changed my life. Just with her life.
Oh, good morning. Psalm 29:1. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Okay. This testimony came out of one of our Wednesday night Bible studies. And I would like to invite you all to come on Wednesday night at 7. We have a really good, we have two very good classes. In February of this year, we studied 1 Samuel chapter 12. This verse just really touched my heart. And I wrote it out on this card. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider the great things he has done for you. Consider means you advise yourself about it. You behold what God has done. You discern what he has done. You take heed joyfully to what he has done. You enjoy what he has done. You regard what he has done. And you surely think about it. God wants me and God wants you to consider the great things he has done for us. In Joshua chapter 3, God did wonders among the people of Israel when he made the waters of the Jordan River stand up as a heap. And while the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, all the Israelites passed over Jordan. So God told Joshua to take 12 men, one out of every tribe, and command them to take out of the Jordan River each man a stone. Joshua made a memorial with those stones at Gilgal. And God tells them why. In Joshua chapter 4, 21 through 24, and God spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Today we have an enemy, and we're in a war. God has a great strategy for us to make our own stones of remembrance. For years, I wanted to do that, and I finally did it. The Holy Spirit surely helped me to remember and write out some of the stones of remembrance, that things that he's done in my life. I keep these little stones in a baggie. I take one out, I put it in the back when I get through with it, and I keep them on the corner of my dresser. This is my dresser. On the corner of my dresser with this card in front, and in the morning, at some time in the morning when I'm going out the bedroom door, there it is. And I speak out loud, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. And then I take one out and I lay it on the dresser right beside of it. Maybe there's a song on there, and it'll remind me to sing that song, you know, throughout the day. But anyway, I thank the Lord. You know, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. And by the way, this is a basket that was given to me, made by the widows in Burundi. That's neat. Doing this helps me stay connected to God. It's one way I can practice his presence. And it helps to build my faith, to remind myself, to remember, you know, what God has done in my life. I would encourage you today to begin to write down your own stones of remembrance, things that God has done in your life, things that he has said or done to encourage you, times he has come to your rescue. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you recall, and he will do it. But I want to, now today I scotch taped, these are my stones of remembrance, I scotch taped them to this paper, because I figured that if I had to hold the mic, it could be a disaster. The first stone that I would share quickly with you is the day that my husband had a heart attack, and they took him to the ER, and twice his heart stopped, and they called code blue. God just let him live, and I'm very thankful that God did. And the next day, he appeared to my husband in his room. Anyway, the next stone of remembrance that I want to share with you is what God gave me when I was in my 20s, and that's been a while ago. Isaiah 43:1, fear not, Marian, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The next one, in February of 2020, he just spoke this to my heart. Obey your husband. Deal with distraction and stubbornness. I shouldn't have told y'all that. My next stone is a loving, kind pastor who has been there for us, and now we have Keziah. Of course, she's not here today, but I miss all the people who are not here with us today from traveling and different reasons. In August of 2019, it was the very first time in my whole life that I was able to say to God, I love you. The next three or four things are things that people in this church have spoken that have impacted me, that have blessed me, that have, you know. Grace said, I want your attention. Now, this is God speaking to her, and she shared it with us. I want your attention. You have given too much attention to the enemy. I want your worship. Yinka said, it's never in vain to serve the Lord. Oh, that anyway, all these things have really encouraged me a lot. Balmatiz has said so many times, we better keep our heart right and make heaven. Pastor Obi said in 2019, there are no shortcuts in the Christian life. My friend Amber said, that mountain in your life, Marian, speak. Tell that mountain how great your God is. Corey Ten Boom said, there's no pit too deep, but that God's love is deeper still. Looks like I've got three more. In June of 2022, when my husband had his total knee replacement, the first one, surgery, the Lord put a chorus in my heart that came alive, and I walked the hall singing, reign, Jesus, reign, King of Zion, Judah's lion, reign, Jesus, reign. And then this is something that was so good that Pastor Obi said to us years ago, and I'll share it with you today. When we sing, it's not just singing. We're loosing something into the atmosphere. We are provoking the right hand of God, who he is. We are provoking his heart and the angels of war. In the midst of problems, pressures, we lift our hands and sing and magnify God. That's what God told them to do in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is New Testament warfare. God can put songs in your spirit that can become life in your spirit. And then the last one, I called Carol Nelson one Saturday in August of this year to check on her and say hello. I asked her, what are you doing? She was in the Word of God in the book of Acts, studying and pondering about Paul. And I was so impressed that she was taking that time in the Word of God. It took me back to the time I told Keziah that I wanted to use Saturdays to spend extra time on spiritual matters. So that little visit with Carol was very profitable to me because of the way God used it in my life, reminding me of that which is really needful in my life. I wanted to tell... I'm kind of a plain Jane person, but really we need those people in our lives. But there are other ways to make your own stones of remembrance. One lady made little pieces of paper and connected them somehow to a small tree. There's a bulletin. You can do a bulletin board. You can use a cookie jar or a box or a basket, and you want to share them with your children. I have not ever had children, but I have shared them. You know, God puts people across my path to share them with. And your children need to know this is faith in action.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. There you are special. Oh my God. Amen. Wow. That's what ministry is. That's what ministry is. You have a testimony. The reason we keep memorials tuned is the devil comes to lie to us. God doesn't love us. Oh, this doesn't happen. But if you look back your life, you can see time and time what God has done. Amen. The word touched me with Miriam saying, I was there a few years after I got saved. I'll pray, I'll do. But I couldn't tell God I love you because I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel qualified. It's a transformation process. When I got to the place I could say, God, I love you, I say, Father. But it took a while to get there. It changed my life. So for her to share that testimony, it's not a small testimony. It's a shift. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you. You all know Miriam's life. She's a testimony anywhere she goes, especially to the homeless. Amen. The next person that wants to minister to us, again, when we go through things, we're encouraged. As a family, I want to call somebody that I've really been affected also by her life and testimony. Patty, please come. And by God's grace, every one of us will have an opportunity one day to come here and speak to the body. Thank you so much. I should have gotten you the lapel microphone. Is this okay?
Okay. Thank you. Okay. She may be little, but she has big shoes to fill. Thank you, Miriam. Good morning. As I thought about my life in preparation for this time with you, it seemed like there were nothing but trials and suffering. Yet my life was filled and blessed by the Lord, full of beautiful memories and great joy. I know that is why Psalm 30 was always my favorite. Said, Lord God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord. You, his faithful people, praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but joy always comes in the morning. I grew up with great parents, two brothers, many aunts and uncles and cousins that brought great joy throughout my life. I was raised for the most part in the Episcopal Church with the prayer book and not the Bible. As a child, I knew somehow there was a good God, because I would sit in my room and cry and write letters to God. He read them because things always got better for my parents and my friends. My dad was my hero, and my mom was amazing, always busy, a great cook and seamstress. During my junior year in high school, my future husband moved in next door. We fell in love, but we also fell in the sin in our senior year and caused great shame in my family. We got married. I miscarried the baby and finished school. His family was pretty dysfunctional, and I always prayed I could bring him love and joy, though it never seemed to be enough. We had two beautiful children by the time I was 21. It was also during that time Louis Palau's crusade came through Colorado Springs, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Our marriage of 20 years had many beautiful memories, but was also filled with pain and sin. God had his hand on me, as usual, and I could always talk to him. I learned if I gave each morning to the Lord and asked him to help me accomplish what I needed to each day, he would keep me out of trouble. By the time the kids were in high school, I had been through several years of Christian counseling, and I was pretty weary and had to admit defeat. My counselor tried to help me with the church, but they said if I left the marriage, they would excommunicate me. Well, I was told no church would take divorced women, so I stayed away from church. But Jesus was always with me. Missing church, I called one close to my apartment one day and asked if they would let divorced women go to their church. The pastor said, "What is your address? Where do you live? Can I come see you?" Well, he spent about 3 hours with me, and of course I went back to church. Soon after my divorce, I moved to Phoenix, where I had family that loved me. They let me heal, and soon after I became an administrative assistant to the controller at a 5-star resort hotel. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be nervous. We loved our life in the desert. No. I went to work at the hotel. Well, Scotty came into my life after about 2 years. I never wanted another man in my life, but he was a believer. He lived in Massachusetts, so he was safe. He knew my family since he was 14. He moved back to Phoenix, and we were married 7 months later. He always knew God brought us together so he could take care of me. We loved our life in the desert. One night after work, I had a sharp pain, and Scotty took me to the emergency room. God used that pain to find that both of my kidneys were failing. Within a month, I was on dialysis 3 times a day, 3 times a week, 4 hours a day. I didn't make very good dialysis patient due to severe migraines that usually sent me to the ER. Consequently, my parents came to live with us so Scotty could keep his job. One doctor gave me Demerol for migraines, and it put me into seizures and a coma for 10 days. After almost 2 years of dialysis and 3 heart conditions that I developed, they started talking about a transplant. Well, I was so frail, they were afraid I wouldn't survive the surgery. The doctors told me that even if the transplant was successful, the heart conditions that had developed would keep me from ever working again. I wouldn't have an immune system, so I would always have to be careful around people. They also let me know that the kidney would last, with a live donor, maybe 12 to 14 years, and a cadaver, about 10 years, if I didn't have problems with rejection. My first cousin called us up from Tucson and said, God told me in the night that I was supposed to give you a kidney. Well, after a Canadian doctor finally agreed to the surgery, during the testing process, they mixed her blood and mine, and it was a perfect match. In fact, a 1 in 10 million match. They'd never seen it in twins, siblings, or parents. Well, after my surgery, on my next visit with the cardiologist, he brought in other cardiologists to see me to show them that my three heart conditions were completely healed. That wasn't possible. There was no sign of any heart damage. Within a month, we went to work at a Bible camp in Prescott. We loved the work, and I got strong again. Sometimes we cooked for up to 750 people, then cleaned all the dorms, their rooms and bathrooms. Jesus brought new joy each and every day. During that time, we went through a period of loss. My hero, my dad, passed away. And a month later, our son, Patrick, took his own life at the age of 33. We lost five other family members within 5 months. We moved to Colorado Springs when my son asked us to come to be hands-on grandparents. I started a new job at OC International that I loved for the next 20 years. My family and my work family supported me with many different illnesses, such as 6 weeks out of work with severe shingles on my face, a six-month period of illness they couldn't diagnose until God finally had to send an angel to my room to let them know I needed life-saving surgery. The angel came to my room as a doctor. He went in to see the patient next to me, and when he came out, he said, "Don't drink anything else. You need surgery." Well, within about 20 minutes, my room was full of nurses preparing me for surgery. And then the surgeon came in to calm me down and to see my doctor. And I said, well, my doctor was her doctor. It was her doctor that came in and told me I needed surgery. So he looked at her and she said, my doctor hasn't even been in today. So the doctor wasn't found, even though everybody had their orders. Even a few months later, at another surgery, my brother and Scotty were telling the nurses the story. They went and checked my records because they didn't believe it. But sure enough, no doctor was ever found. I had other surgeries and was diagnosed with COPD in early 2013. That same year, they found uterine cancer, and I had surgery and radiation. The cancer returned 2 years later, and after many kinds of treatments, it was finally in remission by 2018. I retired from OC in December of 2019. Steve and Sandy came for Christmas, and we talked about moving to a lower altitude to help me breathe. After another major surgery on Christmas Eve, we began the preparations to move. 3 months later, my mom's house was sold, and on March 13th, 2020, Scotty, Mom, and I drove into Steve and Sandy's driveway the day before the COVID shutdown We love Tennessee. And for a while, I did much better. For the most part, didn't need any oxygen. My brain scans and CT scans continued to be clear of any more cancer. My odds weren't good, but my God was big and awesome. I stayed well and enjoyed life with mom and family until October of 21, and I was hospitalized with pneumonia for several weeks, but God brought me home before Thanksgiving. In July of 2022, I broke my shoulder and wrist in a fall just pulling weeds. I had to have surgery on my shoulder and wrist, so I was down another 6 months with casts and physical therapy. By December, I was doing pretty good and enjoyed Christmas until all five of us decided to get sick on Christmas Day. I was hospitalized again with pneumonia and spent the entire month of January in full respiratory failure. I guess I pretty much had given up the fight this time until they brought my children and my grandson to let me know it wasn't time for me to quit. I moved out of ICU by the end of January to a regular floor, and a few days later to a rehab hospital. I was so excited. That night, however, my lung collapsed, so I was sent back to the hospital, which involved two more surgeries and another month in the hospital. This was pretty serious, and once again they called in my children from Colorado, plus those living here. To either talk me back to life or say goodbye. Jesus is always there for me. I was so thankful for the pastors and people from Mount Zion that continually came to Chattanooga to pray for me, just as they did while I was in Tennova, even though I had never been to their church. I went to a rehab center where my mom was also recovering. Unfortunately, mom came home in a hospice and passed away March 22nd of 2023 at 95. I finally came home mid-March. I was still weak, and the doctors thought I would be in hospice within a couple of months. This all sounds hard, but you know, I was so blessed by the people at the 10 different hospitals I was in. I found that some of them needed a smile and encouragement more than me. I had Jesus and prayed they might see Jesus in me. Some of my most precious moments were talking to a tired nurse at night, a housekeeper that was struggling, or a physical therapist with a sick child. No one asked about their problems. I prayed that the doctors would believe when I was once again healed. I always hoped God would get the glory. Right after my mom passed away, Scotty didn't feel well. He finally went for a chest x-ray, and they found a mass. It was stage 4 cancer. But God gave me a great gift to be strong enough to take care of my man in his last days. I was so thankful that with help, I could take care of him until his last breath on December 18th, 2023. Now, almost 2 years later, I'm not in hospice, able to attend church, and so very thankful to say I haven't been hospitalized since Scotty passed away. I live in a beautiful home with my brother Steve and his wife Sandy. And God willing, I will have my 27th year anniversary of my kidney transplant. Psalm 30, 11 and 12. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and closed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. I know the sound was a lot, and I didn't want to dwell on my sufferings, but I hope that you saw that God was in the details. God is in the details of our joy and our suffering, and he will walk with us. So I hope you remember that he's in the details of your lives too, and he can bring joy even in sorrow. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Patty. Thank you. Just take a moment. Started this morning about making memorials. Okay. Making memorial blessings. I don't know what the Lord is saying to all of us this morning by this message that has come about gratitude, faithfulness, grace, mercy, endurance. God never fails. The little I've known about Patty, she was, to be honest with you, she was generous about her words. Many times, doctors gave up on her. Doctor knows when they said, it's over. She has come through so many miracles. That's the purpose of this message. Miracles. Some of these things you're hearing, it's not how it sounds. The little that we witness, everybody thought Paddy would have been gone. Paddy is, and ever since I've met her, this is not exaggeration. Everything that comes out of this woman's voice is encouragement. Just get to know her. It's just no complaining her. You see all this? No complain. She's always seeing God from a positive view. She's only seeing people from a positive view. And that's all she speaks. Because the Bible says, life and death is in the power of what you say. Maybe because she's been so positive, that's what has kept her life going. That's our message for today. I pray tomorrow, next month, next week, somebody's going to stand here and let your life be a testimony for the body. From next month, we're going to start. This is the first time I don't know how to do series of messages. Because before we leave here, go to my house, God is always speaking. I can't prepare a sermon that just go through the year. Just walking out of this place, my spirit is exploding. But there's something that I feel is time for us to understand about love. And it's acts of kindness that you do. But when we all learn this together, this place will not have any pew empty. Because you're going to find out that there's something about you and something you've been doing that you didn't realize. Now when you realize it, you will see that people needed you. And they will benefit from it. Even just a smile, opening the door at Walmart, seeing a lady dragging a buggy, and you say, oh, mama, let me just take this buggy to the end to you. Let me take your grocery out the door. Just little things two strangers. That changes everything. Again, we thank God for Marian. Thank you so much, Patty. Father, we thank you. As we take just a moment to breathe in what you just spoke to us. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. For these our light afflictions works in us great glory. For though we suffer with you for a season, but yes, your glory is revealed. And thank you that what we've been through, you work all things together for good, and you make it a testimony that edifies and give people hope, faith, and strength in a time of struggle. Father, thank you for your presence speaking to us. And may the fruit of this word bring forth fruit in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful family. Father, as they take care of their children, their husbands, their families, may these words of encouragement strengthen us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Today is at the end of every month. You know, we are consistent with it, but sometimes we have a lot going. At the end of every month, we normally have a time to fellowship together. And one of the ways we fellowship together after service is to eat together. Amen? So you don't have to go pay at a restaurant. We just want your fellowship. So we're paying for your food at a restaurant. So if you don't mind, after service, we just created a fellowship place. You can come before church to hang out. You can look at it at the back. You see that the announcement in a few minutes. But really, you go through this elevator back here and go to the downstairs or go through that back side to the basement. Sister Josephine, she's over food. We have a lot of our team went on retreats. If you notice, our leaders went on retreats. Some traveled for different things. All of them travel this week. So she could not cook this big meal. So you need to see what they have for us downstairs. It's a surprise. Amen. 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 Let's go eat together and just celebrate one another together. And guess who is going to dismiss us today? Steve. Amen. God bless you. See you next.